You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Welcome to the Two Old Dolphins Podcast, a proud member of the Dolphin Talk Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Alex Symes and me, Scott Quiggle. Good evening, Alex. How are you doing on this fine afternoon?
Getting ready for Wednesday night football.
Yes.
That's great. Doing great.
The bizarre really times good. That we live in now. Just bizarre. Yep.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. But, we had a hell of a weekend with the Jets. In comes Cincy. We're right back in the thick of the playoff race. And Tua's back on the helm. Everything's normal in Miami.
Highly likely that Tua's back on the helm. Adam Beasley says he's starting. So, and it seemed that way from Chan Gailey's comments as well.
Well, it's in your mind, what's the right move?
Tua starts.
Amen.
I mean, I if he could have gone at all against the Jets, I would have wanted him to start that game too. He needs to grow.
What bugged me about that injury is Tua's history. It's already one that everybody believes he's, I can't say fragile or injury prone, but whatever. He's one of those two things.
Mm-hmm.
And now he got injured in practice on a Wednesday hitting someone's helmet, which happens to quarterbacks all the time.
Yes.
But would we have wanted him to tough it out, and would we have wanted the Dolphins to put him out there, even though he may have not been 100%, almost to prove the fact that he is a tough guy?
I know why Flores didn't.
Me too.
Because Flores is a severe competitor.
Yes.
And he wants to win more than anything. And he's, every coach says, "Yo, we're planning for next week. We're planning for next week. Our focus is on next week." Well, there's no necessarily any coach out there that does so more than Flores. I mean, Belichick obviously does that. But he's intent on the game in front of us and going to do everything that he can to give us the best chance to win. What we saw against the Jets was a big tryout for running backs.
Are you kidding me?
Because
then they fail miserably.
Yeah. When you'd have nothing, essentially, because of all the injuries and poor offseason moves and all of that, what are you going to do? I mean, you've got three left in your pocket. You might as well get them out there and see what each of the three can do. And two of them, fumble bench. We didn't see Laird at all. Hey, what do you have, two carries, a fumble, and then he was gone?
Yeah, and he did a pretty good run. I mean, and then he fumbled.
Yeah.
No, but I really didn't. I mean, I would take in a page of the old talk about Belichick. I would have just passed the ball every single time. You don't even need to try to run it. We really had no running game.
Yeah. And we haven't had much of one all season, but this is way less than even what we had with.
Yes, way less.
Yeah.
But we got the W, Scott. It was not a pretty victory. Yeah. And it showed me more than anything that Fitz is a very nice fill-in. Kind of an emergency quarterback, a backup quarterback, journeyman quarterback, all these things that he's been all his life, but he's not the star. He didn't elevate this team, and the team looked dull. The team, the numbers show it. We just did not, the offense was never clicking.
Yeah, he did.
We won this game because we're playing the worst team in the NFL, par none.
That is why. That is clearly why. We kept making mistakes and giving them the ball on our side of the field, giving them opportunities, and they're just so awful that they beat themselves. They are legendarily bad. In fact, I mean, I can't imagine a circumstance, even in any given Sunday circumstance, where they win a game for the rest of this season. And so,
no, they're getting shellacked the rest of the year. But you know what really pissed me off was that, the turnovers that you said. I mean, if we would have not had a turnover, we would have been able to tack on some extra points on these guys and really blown them out.
Yes, which is what both you and I expected was going to happen. Should happen.
I didn't expect it this time. I thought last time we were going to lay a 40 on them.
Yeah.
I thought this time we were going to get 20, 24, 27. I just didn't think we were going to get – I didn't expect them to score. Now, the Jets have averaged 1.5 points against us in the two games.
I mean, that's so fun.
I mean, they're averaging less than a safety.
Yes, think of how much we – less than safety. We've hated the Jets for so long, for so many years, and, you know, not – I wouldn't say we hate Gase. I mean, I actually...
No, I love him. I wish he never got fired.
Yeah, I actually enjoy him because he's so fun to pick on. And
magical.
And
great.
That he went to the Jets after being fired by us.
Okay, okay.
It's even funnier, so...
But how was this game when we could go drive past drive, when he's handing off the ball to 36-year-old Gore... And he's and that's all he's doing is like first down, second down, then the bubble screen. It was like a deja vu to back to the Dolphins when we used to have this idiot.
Yep.
I mean, he is the worst offensive coordinator, worst head coach I think the NFL's had possibly ever.
And how he still has a job at this
The greatest
point.
Salesman ever. We've I've already
I
said
I know
that.
You've said it and I
the best salesman
I
ever.
I still
ever,
don't
ever.
Believe it. I still yeah.
Just the fact that he's going to stay employed to the end of the year is a brilliant salesman.
Yeah. I mean, coaches are falling by the wayside now.
And he will not get fired.
Yeah.
He will not get fired.
Yeah.
But anyway, this game really, I mean, the Jets had 10 first downs. Not that we lit it up with 22. But the Jets did something which I was dying to look at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. You know how with Gase, we were always dying how little plays we ran. We were always running 53 plays, 54 plays.
Yes, we got into the whole play count check as a regular part of the podcast.
Yeah, well, Gase hit 53 precisely in the nose. It's brilliant. I mean, the guy is like, he's like a robot. He's a machine. He hit it 53 total yards, 260 total yards. I mean, Hill... For the Chiefs, had more receiving yards than the Jets did in the first quarter. I think he had almost as many as they had the whole game.
You could say that about a lot of people and a lot of teams. Hill's first quarter was one of the most frightening first quarters I've ever watched.
But yes, it was brilliant. Yeah. But the Jets to be outscored. I mean, to get 260, they had 11 drives with 10 total first downs. I mean, it was just the worst ineptitude. I mean, it was just all the way across 74 yards in penalty, which is one of the things the Dolphins are not a penalized team. We did some stupid penalties this game, but not, I mean, the Jets had 6 penalties for 74 yards.
Yeah. That's
two crucial turnovers.
Yep. Yep.
Just a pathetic.
Look, there are very few teams that have gone 0-4, and clearly the Jets are going to go 0-4. I mean, if you go way back through ancient history, you know, old, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, then there's a few more. But really, since modern football began, since 1960, I mean, the Cowboys' debut season, they went 0-4.
So that makes us kind of modern, right?
We're
children of the
1976. Yes. I mean, I was not alive when the Cowboys went 0-4, and neither were you.
Neither did I. Yeah. I was not alive in 1960.
But in 1976, when the next team did, we were.
I remember that Tampa Bay. That was their first season ever. With
yes,
the ugly
it was
uniform.
Their debut season. That was mm-hmm. yeah, it was horrific, horrifically bad football.
It was terrible.
Yes,
and they lost every single game. And then we had that short season that the Colts lost every
right,
game.
Right, they went 0-8, so it was a strike shortened season.
And we went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. They actually had a tie, so mm-hmm. you know, I guess that's half an ounce better. I'm not sure. But yeah, in the truly modern day, in the 2000s, two teams have done it, the Detroit Lions and the Cleveland Browns. So,
mm-mm-mm.
Yep.
And Detroit's just fired their head coach. I was watching that game on Thanksgiving Day, and I used that cliche, mm-hmm. nail in the coffin.
Yes.
I looked at my son Alejandro. I said, "This is it. They're firing. Patricia's gone. This is such an ineptitude. After getting shut out the week before,
yep.
they laid an egg.
They were just going downhill. And you know, I looked at their roster, and
it's not bad.
It's not a get blown out by the Texans bad team.
Yeah, no, it's amazing how bad they played. But the Jets, you know, I mean, they started three rookie defensive backs against us. They're doing everything possible to tank. And the NFL should do something about it because they gave us a lot of crap, at least the national press did.
Yeah, they did.
And we've had always a chip on our shoulder about that. And the Jets are just putting out the worst.
I'm not saying that the national media hasn't done it. I mean, obviously we pay far more attention when they talk about the Dolphins, when they talk about any other team. But I see a lot of these pregame shows, and I haven't seen them do anything to the Jets. Like,
what are you talking about? There was people picking. There were people picking the Jets to beat us.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, they never picked us when we had our problems. They didn't pick us to beat the, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Mississippi, Southern Mississippi.
And you know what's funny is, like, the people that picked the Jets to beat us should be fired.
Should be fired.
Right along with Gase. You're fired.
Yeah. I mean, just for having that thought across their mind. They should be immediately banned from. It could be immediately banned from NFL football.
Yeah, it's funny. I have, you know, because we're going to be talking about the power rankings like we do. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it this week, I don't think. But on the left, there's a list of all the articles, and one of them says, "Why is Adam Gase at 7-20 still coaching the Jets?" So maybe we'll take
7-20. That's a better record than I thought he had.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, his seven games must have come last year. So,
I've always told my Jet fan friends to hang in there. It's a 10-year plan. They got to hang in there, and Gase will eventually become the number one rated team. Gase will take the Jets right up there. Just hang in there. It's a 10-year plan, Jet fans. Do not give up hope. But, you know, I was impressed, Scotty, with, you know, we talked about Frank Gore, and we all love Frank Gore for so many reasons.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I was really happy to see him get 18 carries, 74 yards, over 4 yards a carry. He ran hard.
He did.
He ran super hard.
He has all the Miami history, including playing for Miami and in Miami in college and just all of it, right? So
the national championships. I mean, he's got everything, you know, from being the star high school kid, star college kid, to coming back home. Just great. I'm really happy for him. I'm glad he had a great game. But then I was really happy to see. And the Jets, again, I mean, their receivers are damn good, those young receivers. But we did the one thing, which is what our team is starting to really be known as. Who would you say is the biggest threat on that team? If you looked at the Jets team and you had to analyze them and you said, this is the one guy that can beat you, Jamison Crowder.
Yes.
The one guy.
We talked about it, and I just drew. It was one of those old man moments where
It was one of those guys. It's the guy that you would say, damn, he can hurt you. And just like Keenan Allen before his garbage touchdown, we shut his ass down. He had three catches for 31 yards. You're never going to win on five targets.
Yep.
I mean, we shut him down.
Yeah.
We had the rookies hurt us a little bit, you know, Mims, the rookie, and then Perryman.
Mims was another one of those names where we were, you know, some people were shouting his name at a couple of draft pick points.
Oh, Alejandro and I both loved him. I mean, a great. He doesn't look himself. I was telling you after the game that he doesn't look as quick as. I mean, he caught four passes, 67 yards, a 30-yarder. He did, you know, he did well. He was targeted 8 times because we were shutting out Crowder, and that's been Howard. Howard has been out there shutting people out left and right. He's been great, and I don't know. You know, we got to give him credit. I don't know how much of Crowder he got, because he's more of a slot receiver. That would have been need him more. But boy, Howard has been playing his tail off. Another interception.
Another one. It was beautiful.
Wow. I mean, just solid numbers. Solid numbers all the way around. Tremendous. And Needham got his interception too.
Yeah. Yeah. They're, you know, in the Jets game, for the second week in a row, I didn't see a whole lot of pressure from our pass rush, and that worried me as well. I mean, they were on second and third string linemen.
And even worrying me more than our pass rush was our pass protection.
Yep.
Because now we have given up 10 sacks, and closer look at that, they're saying that a few of those could have been Tua's fault the week before, and Fitz's fault. They say a couple of them were his fault, but Davis and Flowers both gave up sacks. Mm. And those are, you know, Flowers was our high price, you know, free agent.
Right. And who was playing very well through until the last first eight games of the season. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that was not too encouraging.
Nope.
And I think our line giving up 10 sacks, I mean, that's – and also doesn't appear to have much of a running game. I mean, I think, again, we had the same situation of 13 carries, 49 yards for Washington.
Regular and consistent penetration into the backfield on running downs.
Yes.
Yep. So.
And after Breida's fumble, we and I were talking about it. I went back and looked at it. Breida had one more carry, and that was in our last drive when we were killing the clock.
Yeah.
He never touched the ball again. So that, you know, hopefully next week we're going to get Gaskin back.
That would be welcome. You know, I'm not so crazy about Gaskin that I think he's going to save us, but certainly he's a step up from any of the people that we saw out there against the Jets.
Yeah, yeah. He's a back that it's exciting and runs hard and has a pretty decent average.
Yeah. So my expectation for this offensive line, because they're so young, right, three rookies and a second-year or third-year guy, was that it was going to continue to grow and continue to get better as the season went on. We've seen that happen with the coaching that we have in the past. I did not expect it to get worse as the season went on. And the two teams that we just played that was sacking us are not good defenses.
They're not good defenses.
Denver was a three-win team when we went in there, and they had all kinds of sacks and pressure, and we couldn't do a damn thing about it. And the Jets are legendarily terrible. So
yeah.
So what happens when we face a good defense?
No, that would be a problem.
I'm worried.
I mean, if you look at the Jets have given up 322 points, right?
Yes.
There's not a single team in the AFC that's given up more points than them.
Right.
Nobody. So that doesn't make their defense good at all. And especially their defensive backs, which we kind of went after them, but, you know, not really. I mean, and their offense at 152 is historically bad. I mean, it's just forget it.
Of course, when the Jets got the ball first, I'm pretty sure Van Ginkel, my favorite Van Halen Ginkel, would have had a sack if he had not had one of the most painful holds I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what the tackle did?
Yes.
He grabbed him by his hair and yanked him back.
Well, you know, when you play with long hair, that's everything is free there. You know?
I guess. It's still a hold, but one that hurts. Yeah.
I remember when Ricky Williams was playing back in the day that they pulled a whole lock of his hair out.
Yep, yep.
And that must have been super painful.
And when he came back, did he have any hair?
No, but nope. He that game, he got pissed off. And when that kid got pissed off, boy, did he run. Jeez, did he run? Because remember, they pulled him when he was out of bounds.
That's right. While everyone else on the field is getting more and more tired, he gets stronger and stronger and stronger.
Like any great back. Yes. Like the great ones.
Yep.
The great ones, as the game goes on, we just saw that this weekend from Henry again.
Yes.
He's
that type of back. He's an animal. He just got stronger and stronger as he went on and more unstoppable. Just wore the defenses down to a nub. Yep.
But in the Jets game, I mean, anything that stuck out besides the fact that we were playing a horrible team and we beat them 20-3?
I mean, just a little bit more commentary on Fitz first, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was good to see him spreading the ball around because I haven't felt to all the different – every receiver that was on the field, basically. Everyone got – you have the stats in front of you. I never opened them up for the podcast because you're the stat guy. But, So
I don't think he spread the ball around that much. I mean, he went.
It certainly seemed like Parker, especially in the second half. But
he threw the ball 14 times to Parker, 14 targets, 8 receptions, 5 to Gesicki with 2 receptions.
I think what my point was going to be is Fitz has some magic, but it's not the type of magic that you necessarily want to point to and say, yeah, Fitz magic. It's that he keeps throwing interceptions and the other teams keep dropping them.
Yeah.
The last two weeks.
And when you look at, with as much as he appeared to be throwing downfield, right? His average, take a stab at it. What do you think his average was?
It's got to be pretty low. It's got to be, I don't know, 6.5 yards.
6.6. Very good.
Wow. Yeah. I did not look at the stats, I swear.
I know you didn't. I know you didn't. I trust you 100%. But, you know, he got sacked the 4 times. He which is, again, 2 were blamed on him. He passed the ball, okay. But against the defense with 3 rookies, 257 yards on 39 attempts. So he threw the ball. And approximately, with Tua, he's always been throwing, 25, 26 times, 24 times. That's around the mid-20s is where Tua is. They let him swing, wing it and swing it out there a little bit more.
We got a gift, too, with that not a catch by Parker.
You know, first time ever I started that I looked at Gase and agreed with him.
Yeah, me too.
I said, wow, that's a good challenge because there's no way that's a catch.
Yep. And even after watching the replay a dozen different angles, I still didn't think it was a catch.
That was never a catch. He never put it away.
Yep.
But, hey, we'll take it. That shows you how bad Gase is. Even when he's right, he's wrong.
Yeah. Even the touchdown pass that Fitz threw to Gesicki, I was scared out of my mind.
Boy, did you hear the announcer?
It was.
Lofton, who, yeah. By the way, Lofton for a long time lived here in Poway. In San Diego,
you meet him a few times. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. His son, also played for Poway High. I mean, he's a nice man. But boy, that comment was so.
It was out of. Game are you watching? Do you get kickback for making positive comments or something? Because he just flew a looper. I mean,
that tour doesn't.
There was
do
no
that.
Accuracy. That just thing went up and came down, it happened to be Gesicki out jumping the corner. So,
and it was like one of these ducks. The ball was not. Whatever.
Yep, it was not a good pass in any way, but it had a good result. I'll take it.
But Gesicki
just like
got
I'll take the W. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we were able to get the W at the end of the day. But I mean, when you look at the whole game, we control the clock. 32 minutes, 27. 32-37 to 27-23. The Dolphins had 68 plays to the Jets 53.
Yeah.
It was a solid victory. It was one of those that get me, because that was your ultimate trap game.
Denver was a trap game. Denver was a 3-win team that played us a lot harder than that. And it was a trap. We got trapped by our own ego and confidence and all of that stuff. This game,
Scott,
I can't call it a trap. They're just legendarily bad. You just don't lose to that game.
After the game, we could say that. But before the game, that was why there's people picking them. Because the Jets, this was a game, if there ever was a game, that you expected the Jets to be up to say, let's win one for the Gipper or the Gase man or the Bug Eye, whatever you want to call them. It just didn't happen.
The Taco Man just didn't happen.
Yeah. They didn't they laid an egg for him. I mean, even the kicker missed a 29-yard field goal. I was like,
what? How did that happen?
It was unbelievable. They're about to go in. Oh, there's the interception. I mean, it was the definition of ineptitude. That's what the Jets were. Just a totally inept, bad team. But this is a game that they should have been up for to say, let's derail the Dolphins' chances of the playoffs. Let's win one, whatever. It didn't happen.
Not going to happen. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. A touch more on Fitz. He has these moments. I mean, part of it is the easy pass to complete, right? And then he's trying to teach Tua about the throw guys open thing, and Tua does need to learn how to do that, especially when our receiving core isn't getting separation. You have to find ways.
We talked about that.
Yes, we did. And in this game, he had at one point 10 completions in a row. That's pretty positive, right? And then he went on an 0 for 5 streak.
But he's always been this hot and cold guy.
Yeah.
What people have come to know as bad fits, good fits. You know, that's that kind of thing.
Yep.
That's the way he plays the game. And while I think Tua will be more of your level, constant performance, no turnovers or few turnovers, that kind of a quarterback. Game manager, yes, but also a playmaker.
I do have to call out Parker. Not only was he a favorite target, but he was making some great catches. Like the thing, again, I know we've said this in the past. The thing that we saw the first three seasons was that he was kind of a wuss, never came back for the ball, didn't fight for it, didn't own it.
Yeah, he's fighting for the ball.
And now he owns it. When that ball's in the air, Parker owns it. And we saw a lot of that today. And I was so happy and so proud of him to see him.
Not to beat a dead horse, but when you said that, I felt like saying, even when he wasn't making the catch, he was making a catch. It was Parker's day.
Yeah.
You know, but his numbers, man, I mean, you're looking at, you know, almost 15 yards a reception. And his long one was only 25. It wasn't like he had, you know, usually you get those numbers when you get that 50 yarder, the big, you know, bomb. Parker's not that guy. You know, he's a possession receiver. But to average 14.9 yards on possession receiver, that's damn good.
Yeah.
That is damn good. And our tight ends, every single one got a pass, which is nice. I mean, I look at Hollins like a tight end. I mean, because he looks like a tight end.
I keep thinking he is, but he's a wide receiver. Yeah.
I know. I keep thinking the same thing. I keep thinking, well, there's our tight end. He just made another catch. But our tight ends did all make a catch or two or three.
Smith and, you know, Shaheen and, yep, all of them.
Well, Smith actually led us. He got three. He had three catches.
Yep.
Shaheen had only one, but Gesicki two. I mean, yeah, he's targeting the tight ends a lot. And we're playing all three of our tight ends, and they're all getting involved in the offense, which is interesting.
Hey,
very interesting.
Whatever works, man. You know, use what you have, get it done, game plan to it, hide your weaknesses, build on your strengths, always improve, right? I know those are all generalisms, but I usually see it happen. I mean, with this coaching staff in the last 2 years.
So we could put the Jets, put the Jets to bed already? I mean, they're just historically pathetic. And by the way, Sam Darnold is done, so we're going to see him. My prediction, I wrote it on our group, I think he's going to end up going to the Bears. Or he's going to end up going, I would say, you know, the Bears, really. I think that's where I see him landing.
I of everyone that's had a second chance at that position in the league, I think nobody should get one more than Sam Darnold should, just based on the horrible coaching that he's had. He could be a superstar and we wouldn't know. I mean, Tannehill, perfect example. Not quite superstar, but man, is he overall playing well. So
I don't know, man. I mean, you could say he's a superstar. He made the All-Pro last year.
So, yeah. I mean, you know what scares me is the thing that always scares me, that Belichick knows it and that Belichick grabs him for next year and he turns out to be that good.
Oh, God, that's not what we want.
I know. That always scares me. And the Jets are so stupid, they trade with the Patriots. They have a history of it.
I think they'll cut him.
Including the coaches. So
I think they would probably cut him.
Wow. They're just so stupid. It's almost inconceivable. But again, there is no way Gase. I know I argued with you last week about it, and I'm just going to throw it out there again. There's no way Gase survives a day after the end of this season. He'll be fired on Black
never
Monday.
Never underestimate.
Black Monday. He's gone.
Never underestimate Mr. Lesser. He is the greatest salesman ever. The death of a salesman is not going to happen.
Let me make
it's
one last
comment.
It's
not going to
happen. Two last comments about our Jets experience, right? One is Fitz had another run as we were actually driving down towards scoring again at the end of the game. And I had to say this because I don't know what it is about Fitz. There's all kinds of running quarterbacks in the NFL. But for some reason, every time Fitz takes off, I start laughing. Why is that?
because he runs funny.
It always
looks like it's going to be the last play he's ever going to make.
It's not an insulting laugh. It's just like, it just, I don't know. I find it to almost be comedic. I'm laughing, so it is comedic, I guess. It was good to see. I don't know if it was good to see. We definitely gave Washington a workout towards the end of the game there once the other two happens. He was getting a lot of runs.
Well, and I like Washington.
That guy was
him.
He was running hard. And I wanted to say this, and I could see him making second efforts, which I don't. I had a couple of good lines about Breida. He's a piece of paper. One finger will tackle him. I said at one point, because we've for years picked on the Ted Ginn thing, that he's the Ted Ginn of running backs. He's on his way down before contact.
Yeah, no, he's definitely not a he's not a running back that. We gave up too much on a fifth round pick for him. That's the bottom line. I mean,
I didn't know. I saw highlights of him and his speed, and I was a little bit charmed by that too. I had no idea that he was if it was my job to know.
I can't wait for Gaskins to come back. Yeah. I think he's the only real running back we have. Ahmed, ran well, but he's not. I think Gaskins is a better running back.
As the game was winding down, they kept showing Tua increasingly on the sideline, and that dude was pacing back and forth like he was a caged tiger.
A caged tiger, yes. Yep. I love him. I love him. And, yeah. And you know, you want him in a way. Last thing on that note, Tua said the right thing. He seems like he always says the right thing. But sometimes I would wish Tua was a little bit more politically incorrect and say, damn it, I want to play.
Yeah.
I want to be out there. I know I can make our team win. I mean, I want to see that kind of cockiness, that kind of piss me off. I want
to
play.
I think he'll say it, but he'll say it directly to the coaches and the people around him.
Not the media. Yeah, he's probably smarter than I am on that. I just love a fiery guy, you know, a Dan Marino thing. And I think Tua is, he looked like he was dying to get in there. And especially against the Jets, that would have been great to see him. We're going to get our chance this week, right?
As the game winds down, at the end, we did something that other coaches don't often do. With over a minute left,
take the knee at the
we're
end.
First in goal, and we just took a knee. Now, I've seen Shula do that. I've seen a few other coaches that have class do it. And I had the thought, I'm like, I know that when we were in our last coaching search, I'm like, you know, the Harbaughs aren't my favorite people, but they win, you know?
But they're jerks.
And I guarantee you a Harbaugh would have pushed that in for an extra score.
Well, he did against us.
Yeah. Like,
we saw it
they were
hand.
Killing us and
we
then
saw it
did
first
a
hand.
Purposeful onside kickoff.
Let me tell you.
Even
if,
when they're killing
the Steelers
us.
If the Steelers would have lost one game, I would have loved to see the Steelers just run up the score on the Ravens tomorrow. Instead, I'm going to be rooting for this jerk, Harbaugh, so that the Steelers fall and I don't have to worry. I don't think they're ever going to go undefeated. But I want it over with. Let them lose already.
So during the game, I saw Elandon Roberts make another penetrating, incredible one-person tackle stuff in the backfield. And it was just one of those hits that
Bond is he an animal?
And so I'm like, God, he's a great hitter. He's got ability to penetrate. He's got a nose for the ball, on running plays, and one of our text buddies or one of our text old men in the group that we're in said, well, where's he been all day? And I had a little bit of the same thought. I'm like, with the way Gore was running, and as often as he was running, wouldn't you want Roberts out there sticking people? I don't know whether there's something wrong with it or not, but he had 18 plays.
Yeah, he had. And
he was on the field for 33% of the defensive
plays. And he had 5 tackles on those plays. So he played his tail off. And he had that solo tackle, which was on Gore, which is not an easy guy to bring down one-on-one. And he hit him well. He hit him well. And by the way, he also, he had a half a sack. I mean, he had a quarterback hit. I mean, he played his tail off.
Don't you want to see?
Hell yeah. He's
more?
The best tackler on the team. We said he'd be the hardest hitter.
So why isn't he? I don't get it. I love to hear what the schematic explanation is for, you know, when teams, especially when they're running all over us like Denver, why is he out there just punishing
Baker,
people?
And Baker had twice. A hell of a game. And when he got injured, we were all talking about Baker and saying what happened to him. And it looked clear to me like he got a heel hit him right in the groin. And I said, that's why he's out.
You called it.
I mean, it was I had no fear of him being hurt permanently, but boy, I'm sure it wasn't a pleasant situation for him, you know. And
there were four defenders.
Yeah.
There were four defenders that were out there for every defensive play. Can you name them?
For every defensive play. Well, I would hope Van Noy is one of them as our captain.
Correct.
And then our corners. I would say for sure we had to have Howard out there for every play. I would say Jones was out there for every play. And
correct.
I would say, and I did not know this. I'm just guessing. I'm looking at the lineup.
I would pick them too.
It's logical. Maybe, I don't know, one of our safeties.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Which one?
Which one of our safeties? Rowe?
You can do this. Nope.
McCain. Ah!
You were so close.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah, that's...
You know... I thought it interesting for Wilkins being out for a couple of weeks to see that he got 82% of the.
It was nice to see him back. And you know, Davis, boy, has Davis. I mean, for a guy that I in particular was not very enthusiastic about that draft pick. Davis is turning into a stud, a total stud.
Yes.
I mean, he's dominating that line of scrimmage. I'll give you some numbers in this game. He had two solo tackles. He had another quarterback hit. He had another half a sack. I mean, the guy is just playing his heart out. I mean, unbelievable athletic play from that man. He's really making a presence in the middle there. Okay.
All right.
On to Cincinnati.
Yes.
You know, Scott, I took a look back at Cincinnati, and you know, we played them in the second to last game before the New England ass kicking that we did before the end of the year. We played these guys. Mm-hmm. And first of all, overall in the series, we're 17-7 Dolphins. So we beat them 17 times, they beat us 7. And we beat them last year 38-35. Different teams, you could say. But I
remember that game last year. We came out and we were stomping on them. We all relaxed.
Yeah, and then they came back on us.
And then the wheels fell off the bus defensively.
Now, interesting aspect of that game. Number one is Gaskin got a TD and was our leading rusher. 16 attempts for 55 yards. Gasecki got two TDs. Parker got another TD. And Wilkins got a TD. That was the game that Wilkins got his TD.
Right. Yes, where he was the fullback and they handed him the ball. Yeah, I do remember that. That was fun.
Simple math will tell you, two by Parker, one by Wilkins, two by Gasecki, and one by Gaskin, five TDs right there. Our leading defensive players was the same as this game almost. The leading tackler was Baker. And number two was Sigler. And then Needham had a hell of a game. So it was kind of interesting that we had all these Dolphins that are today contributors really contributing at the end of last year.
Yes, that's correct. You know, Needham sees a lot of work this year because we have Byron Jones and we have Xavien Howard. And you watch a quarterback's eyes come out there. Or the facing of his head or where his looks go. And they look to whoever, if we're in man coverage, they look to whoever Needham's covering.
Which is usually the slot receiver.
Yeah. Yep. It's because everyone's afraid of our corners.
But that, you know, it's very interesting that, you know, our defense, you know, these are guys that have been developing. And now Gasecki hasn't developed as much as we would like him to develop.
Yeah.
It looked like he was.
We had a flash.
I had him as the breakout player of the year for the Dolphins, and it hasn't been that.
Yeah, we were both wrong. I had Williams.
Yeah. I like William too, but no. Interesting. So that game ended up, you know, 38 35. I think that this year will beat them, especially without Burles.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big difference. I think it would have been a very exciting game with Tua going up against Burles.
Yep.
Tua having a much larger advantage because of the, I think, a better, more complete team.
Yeah, well, Tua would be facing a much weaker defense, but not as many weapons around him.
Yeah, I mean, Burles.
Right, and Burles would have had more weapons around him, but facing a much tougher defense, so it might have been a wash.
But you know something interesting about that game last year? There was a kicker named Sanders who was 1 out of 2. Missing a 40-some yarder.
Well, let's hope we don't see that.
No, but today, if he went to kick a 40-yarder, you would just probably, okay, let me go grab a beer or something.
Yes.
It's over.
I'm going to take a nap while, you know. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
A bathroom break. We're about to score 3 points no matter what. Mm-hmm. I mean, because he is becoming automatic.
Yeah. I even said during our text talk this time, I'm like, if kickers could be superstars, Sanders is a superstar.
It's a great weapon to have. Just an awesome weapon to have. But again, it was just great to see all those guys last year and then contributing this year and seeing the growth in these guys. And I don't think there's no way on earth we're going to give up 35 points to Cincinnati.
No, I can't see that either. Not this defense.
No, I say max Cincinnati scores is 15, you know, I don't know, maybe 13, 16 points. You know, a touchdown and two or three field goals. That's it.
Yeah. Yep.
That's it. So we should beat them very easily in this game. And that leads us to the playoff hunt and what's happening. Because if you look at the remaining schedule for us, it's mixed. I mean, the Kansas City game will be very difficult.
Yes. And every time we faced a team like that, we've said hands down we're going to get whooped. And then the Dolphins surprise us in some way. So here's hoping for a real shocking surprise.
Yeah, I would like to see that. But
our defense, you know, I don't see how they're going to stop Mahomes. I mean,
of these next five games, we have to win three.
Well, I think we can do that. Cincinnati,
for sure.
If we play a Raiders team that showed up to play last week, we'll beat the heck out of them. Oh my gosh, they were horrible.
Oh, that was terrible.
Yes.
No, they can't be that bad. And it's going to be in Vegas. That's going to be a huge game because those are two playoff contending teams that are in contention right now for the playoffs. So that's going to be a key game for us.
Yep.
New England, I just don't see us losing that game.
I don't either.
Buffalo, I it could be problematic.
Yes. It's in Buffalo. It's going to be freezing winter conditions. It's going to be snow and ice. And
10-6 is a respectable, and more important than that, giving this team, and in particular to a playoff experience and a taste of what it's like to be in that playoff.
Perfect.
Even though it's not, again, this is not typical playoff atmosphere. You know, we're going to have an empty stadium, the same old stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, so the pressure will be there.
Weird to the end.
Yeah, the pressure will be there, you know, and that's the key. I guess we're both predicting a relatively easy Dolphin victory this week, right?
We are. I am.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Now.
I think their offense has real trouble scoring.
Oh, but yeah. Yeah, that quarterback, Allen, Brandon Allen, whatever his name is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Five-year pro that we never heard of. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay. The other great news that we got is, I guess, the misfortune of some guys is good for us. But, you know, being a Dodger fan in baseball, I always consider Houston as a city, a bunch of cheaters. So, starting with the disgusting Astros.
Yeah.
But here the Texans are just taking a page off of these guys. They just had two key guys eliminated for six games for the rest of the season, including a couple of games next year. And that is Will Fuller, who was just tearing it up.
Their number one receiver.
And one of the top, I would say, top 10 receivers in the NFL. And Bradley Roby, who's an incredible corner. That's a Super Bowl champion corner.
Yep.
A guy that's a hell of a player. He's gone now for the rest of the year. So you have a great corner and a great receiver, striking them on offense and striking them on defense. Yep. Both for and Roby's excuse. I love this. Bradley Roby goes, you know, they gave me something that I didn't know what was in it. And I hate that excuse. And let me tell you, yep, that's a good excuse.
I saw his tweet.
If you're a teenager, Scott, if you're a teenager and your teenager comes to you with that story, you're going to say, you know, damn it, don't be an idiot. You got to know what they're feeding you, blah, blah, blah. That's going to be a conversation. If you're a professional athlete, whose body is your temple, whose body is your livelihood, and you're going to get stuff and you don't know what's in it, then you're a loser.
Yep.
You're a loser or you're a liar. Okay. So he's one of the two.
Put the blame on the doctor.
Yeah. And that BS, that guy knew exactly what he was taking. If he didn't know, he was a big dummy and he deserves to be freaking banned from football.
Sure wasn't the team doctor that did that.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, this is the Texans. It could be a big plan. Maybe I read it today, and it was hysterical. That I shared it with you. Whatever program of drugs Will Fuller was on, it should be made legal, because this is the first year in his life he hasn't had an injury.
Right.
And so they were saying whatever program he was on, it should be legal for everybody in the NFL. That was pretty funny. But, you know, for us, it's huge because now they have, like we said, one less weapon on offense, one less good defender. I think that they're going to have a tough time. The rest of their schedule, we have talked about it before. They're going to go up against the Colts.
Loss.
Should be a very freaking angry Colts team, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's hope they go and they kick their rear end.
Yep.
And then they go up against the Bears, who I think have a great defense and is going to be in a beautiful December the 13th in Chicago.
Yes, cold. So good, blustery.
Yeah, for a little Texas team that plays in a dome, that would be great. Then back to the Colts in Indy. The Lost. Coach should win that one again.
Yep.
Now the next one is a little scary, is the Bengals.
Oh boy. Yeah, they could win that one. Could.
Correct. And then the Titans should put them away.
Yep.
So,
worst case, probably 1-4 over the next. That gives them five wins, which is how many we had last year. And we had the fifth pick in the draft.
Yeah, so they should fall within the top 10.
Yeah.
But right now, we're number 11.
Yeah, we need to get them inside there.
We need to get them inside. And we could always package our two and move up. If there's a certain person that we feel that it's a difference maker.
A game breaker. Yeah, a playmaker. Yeah.
Even though Miami doesn't have a history of doing that, the only time we did it was, funny enough.
Oh, God, don't do it.
Deion Jordan.
Oh, no.
And by the way, hey.
Worst move ever.
I sent you today. We could get a rookie card of his, shipping and everything, for $15.
Yeah, I was on Amazon and just casually browsing. Was it early this morning, I think, when I was just waking up and drinking my coffee, Dolphins gear. You know, I was just looking for something different and weird.
For yourself for Christmas.
No, people are bugging me. Dad, what do you want? Dad, what do you want? You didn't give us a list. And I'm like, well, I'm so easy. I just buy something Dolphins. I'm like, well, maybe I should at least pick it. You know, something I like so I don't end up with something dumb. But anyways, I saw a signed plaque for Josh Rosen, and it was $15, and I sent it as a joke to you guys, and you responded with the Deion Jordan,
because
also
it was
$15.
No, yours was $16.
Oh.
So I was giving you a better bargain for Deion Jordan for $15. Mine was $11 for $4 shipping.
Yeah.
Classic, man. Classic. So look at Scott. Overall, we're in a great position. It looks like our Dolphins are going to make the playoffs. I think our prediction for the season, we were off. I think everybody was off on the Dolphins.
Yeah.
We're going to end up 10-6. And there's an outside chance that we go 11-5.
Yes. Yep.
That means that we would have to beat one of those Buffalo Bills or Kansas City.
Yeah, it's not going to be Kansas City.
But the point is, we go 10-6. If you look at the rest of the NFL, The rest of the NFL is basically right now, you have the Raiders at 6-5. You have the Browns at 8-3. And you have the Colts at 7-4. That's the competition with the Dolphins at 7-4. You know? Mm-hmm. And what's interesting on this, when you look at the defense, when you look at the defense and of all the defense in the AFC, the two best ones are playing tomorrow, the Steelers and the Ravens, and we're number three.
Yeah,
that's and we're giving up 205.
What happened to the Ravens' offense this year? It's bad.
Because their quarterback sucks this year. I don't know what I mean. We all expected a reset. I mean, there's no way he could have kept those ridiculous numbers. He was throwing a touchdown pass like every three passes looked like a touchdown. I mean, you know, the guy was just killing him, everybody with his feet, with his arm.
Yeah, yeah. That fell a Hollywood, long way. Yeah,
Hollywood Brown was open by 50 yards on every pass, and you know, it was like, how do you stop these guys? They look very pedestrian. And to me, it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy than Harbaugh. So.
Yeah, right. We agree on that. Yeah.
So let's win, Dolphins. Let's take this game down, and we'll go 8-4. The Chiefs, then the Raiders. It's going to be a fun schedule coming up. It's the hardest part of our schedule. Well, Scott, let's enjoy the game tomorrow, one of those COVID Wednesday night games. And this weekend, let's take down the Bengals and let's move on 8-4 and on our journey to a playoff 2020.
Yep. Let's see Tua back out there. Let's see him healthy. Let's see him progressing, advancing, and giving us that light into the bright future.
Amen, brother. Go Dolphins.
Go Dolphins. Two Old Dolphins Podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolfans.com, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. You can reach out to us through our website and email address that's there, or find us on Twitter where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally and a Facebook page. Our podcast contains the music of two bands. We'd like to thank the original Tartanic drum and bagpipe champions. You can find their music and more at tartanic.net. A huge shout out to Rick DeJesus and the boys of Adelitas Way. Can't thank them enough for allowing us to use their kick-ass rock in our podcast. You can find them everywhere, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Spotify. And make sure to catch them when they're touring because they are the best.
Thank you for listening to Two Old Dolphins. Join us next week for more news, analysis, and old guy stories. Good night.
Go Dolphins.